Today's selection was provided to you as a suggestion from Walter Bullard. All these old songs he brings up, I'm beginning to think he was there. Can you not just see Walter on the plantation somewhere singing, "Swing low, sweet chariot"? There he goes. He just kicks right into it, I tell you. Oh, well, I can't say too much about him because he and Stuart are close to the same age, and I don't want to pick on him and Stuart in the same service. So, well, actually, I've done that before, so that's okay. Hey, you've heard the old thing that I've said before, you've heard it before. Pastors, we're paid to be good, and the rest of you are good for nothing. You remember that? You know, that's kind of the attitude when it comes to service sometimes in some places. And that is, pastors, they do all the ministry. We're here to worship and to listen. And well, our speaker today, Dr. Ron Cottle, is a wonderful example of someone who realizes that God said for us all to be about our Father's business. For all of us, regardless of whether we're called to the professional vocation of minister or whether we have just been called by Jesus, as all believers have been, to follow Him and to be His ministers. I hope that you can receive, as Dr. Cottle comes, that unction from the Holy Spirit, that if we don't do it, and we really need to personalize that. And I wish we could all leave here today saying, if I don't do it, it might not get done. Because God has called us to work. You know, there's also the old story about the guys that got together and talked about fishing. They got to be experts on lures and hooks and line and poles and where to go and the tides and everything. The only thing that they didn't do was fish. They just talked about it. And that's what we do sometimes. Well, Dr. Cottle doesn't just talk about it. He goes out and he does it. And he's come to join us on Baptist Men's Sunday just to give us some insight into what God's laid on his heart and to share with us some of his experiences out on the missions field as a layman. And so join me as we welcome Dr. Cottle to our pulpit.
Thank you very much for inviting me here to speak to you. My mission, or God's mission, and I'd like to say that I do feel God's presence in this house. I need to preface this besides because I get very nervous when I'm in front of a group, more than two people, one people in the same room actually. Especially when there's an old family member exam room. If it's just a patient, I'm fine. But you get another family member, that makes me nervous. But I prayed about it a lot. And God has helped me a lot. And I feel presence of God here. And I found the reason why I feel nervous is because I don't feel God's presence, even though He really is here. And right now I'm not nervous, so I'm feeling His God's presence. Approximately 1 week after the earthquake in Haiti, Richard Brunson, who's head of our North Carolina Baptist Men's in North Carolina, came to our church to speak. He didn't come to speak primarily for that to begin with. He was actually, it was when we were in between ministers, and he was filling in while we were searching to find a minister. And he began his talk and sort of rearrange it to urge us to give money. And as a result of those efforts, North Carolina Baptist Men raised over $1 million for the Haiti earthquake. And I felt God's presence. I was in the back pew, sitting down, buying my own business, and as he continued to talk and showed pictures, I felt God not only call me or tell me, he just simply said, "You got to go. I want you to go." And I immediately came up after the service and introduced myself to Richard and asked him how I could go. And he gave me how to go online, sign up. It was a very lengthy application. And next morning he called and said, I got you four nurses, and you, we're going to get you packed, get you ready, go to Haiti. North Carolina Baptist Men has a group called Rescue 24, which is actually an international group all over that's actually partners with Hungarian Baptist Convention. And Rescue 24, we do joint ventures. Baptist Men does joint ventures with them. Headquarters is in London. The headquarters for North and South America are in Cary at the state at our state convention center for Rescue 24. John Adams is our leader. He's the minister, Baptist minister at Salemburg Baptist Church. And he is also a retired Special Forces colonel with the Army. Very knowledgeable guy, the kind of guy you want with you when you go to places like that. He knows his way around. He knows how to survive and get through all that. And that's great. But what I've found with going on these mission meetings is you very quickly and very evident feel the presence of God when you're on these missions. God is in front of you. God is beside you, right and left. He's behind you. He's above you, below you. And it's this feeling. I remember all my life, I've always, you talk about the Passover and the ascension of Jesus, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you and be with you. And all my life, I never had that feeling. I heard about it. But it's here and it's there. The Holy Spirit's here with us now. You may not feel it, but it's there. It's as close as you can get. It's all around you. It's in you everywhere. Especially if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's right there, prepared for you to repent and accept Jesus Christ and serve the Lord. And so it just a matter. So the Holy Spirit's everywhere, all over the world. And when Richard Brown said he got four nurses and me go to Haiti, first thing I thought was, if we were four nurses and we were going to Vegas, that'd probably be a little easier thing to swallow, but we're going to Haiti. Well, I prayed about it today because I really wanted more help than that. This is my first mission trip. And the Rescue 24 had already been down. They go in groups of twos. They're on the ground within 2 days. They're on the ground, search around, see what the needs are, finding churches, places we can stay, where we can set up camp, where we can get supplies, logistics of all the logistic part. Any of you military? Any retired military here? So you know what the word logistics means. There's any logistics military people here? Anybody that was involved with logistics? Okay. You know what logistics is all about. They're probably the most important person in the Army, I think. I really do. They're the most important people because they make your job easy. Because when you get to a facility and your logistics is planned for a package of supplies to be there, it'll be there if you've got logistics figured out. So that's the beauty of it going ahead of you. So not only is the Holy Spirit going with you, you're going to have these logistic people going ahead of you. Some of these people are missionaries that are in these places. In Haiti, we had some missionaries. There weren't that many Baptist missionaries because the group had found an actual mission. It was it was out in the countryside about 10 miles north of Port-au-Prince. And it was a gated, it was like a research farm, but it was a group of smaller church associations like Church of God. I forgot it was three others that pulled their money. And they have these missions all over the world. They have one in Haiti. And the missionary had just left. So their house was all open. So God provided us a house to stay. For Haitian standards, a very nice house. It did have heated water, but it's on top of the roof, and 110 degrees temperature, you don't need a hot water heater. It heats it, so you had hot water all the time above it. And it had a washing machine, but it didn't work. But this guy named Rejection in this picture you see here. Scott Daughtry over to the side here. And Scott's one of his logistic guys. In fact, some of you may recognize him. Scott used to be the Bladenham Lakes District Superintendent. He didn't call himself a park ranger. He's sort of, I think, a step ahead. He covered all the lakes. And if you know of anybody who has property on the lake, you go out and look at their license thing, or they got Paste that on there. You will find that his name is on there. He did some of those pictures on there. And I flew down with him. And see, this is what he's doing right now. They're doing logistics. We're at the San Domingo Baptist Church. We flew in from Raleigh-Durham to Miami into San Domingo. And I think the Rescue 24 had gone ahead and found this church. And that was our stop place. We would go there. These guys over the side are their youth ministers in this church. I never saw the church, so I don't know what it looked like. I assume it looked like similar to this, but this is in their sort of their youth Sunday school classes place there. And you can go ahead, you can go continue with slides. And so if you choose to do missions, which I hope you do, now my job today is to challenge you to do missions. Not only will you have the Holy Spirit there, which is actually really enough, but you'll have all these people there also. And I think these people were inspired by, I think not inspired, they were led by the Holy Spirit to find these places. Because as I went to these places, just one miracle after another. I mean, the first miracle occurred within the next morning. Or at my house, there were pharmacies all over Bladen and Columbus County were bringing me supplies. I had so many supplies, when I got done, I carried some of them to the Bladen office. And they were packing supplies up there and gave them some of their supplies to send down later. I'm going to have with mine. Because I carry both surgical supplies for surgical issues, which we had a lot of fractures and a lot of injuries. And then also had some long-term injury care where the injuries and now I got into infections and needed some chronic care and replaced casting. And unfortunately, there was a lot of amputations we had to do. So later that evening, I had on my team, we had crewed up to we had 12. And this is the Holy Spirit working. Because I had two neurosurgical nurses from Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt. I had two orthopedists from Louisiana. I had an ophthalmologist from Asheville. I had four more intensive care nurses all over the country. All just came in on our team and came in. And I had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. This is all God's doing. And the only thing I can do and I can take credit for is when God asked me, I said yes. And if you choose to say that, if you choose to say yes, that's the only credit that you deserve. Because all the rest of it belongs to God, to God Himself. And then there was just multiple miracles. I could spend the whole afternoon. In fact, I was telling Kinsey earlier that the first time I gave this talk was to the Baptist WMU yearly meeting, and it went an hour and 45 minutes. And he kind of jumped when I said that. And I also noticed there's no clock in here, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I like to share with you some of the miracles. Now, I mean, a miracle. In fact, when I got back, I started listening to miracles, and I'm up to about 120. And still counting, but one of the first miracles was that was a Friday, that was a Thursday that it snowed, and we got about 3 inches of snow here that Thursday, the day before I left on Friday. So we got Friday morning, plane was supposed to leave at 11. And the closer we got to Raleigh, the more snow we got. I mean, it was a lot of snow. And the first miracle I got there, they already gotten up, they had plowed it. They had banks of snow at Raleigh. I mean, high banks of snow everywhere. All in the place where you check your baggage and runways and everywhere. But God had already cleared the runways for us. So that was the first miracle. And then the second miracle was when Scott came out. I just bought a used pickup a couple weeks before. And I had to throw my stuff in the back. And I had four bags. And I got up and I realized I don't have a way to get all these bags in there. And me, when I pulled up, Scott walks out the door. We all had red shirts on, so I knew he was Rescue 24. And I didn't want to tell who was going to meet me there. I just told him just to be there. And Scott comes out. Scott's a big guy. He's in his 60s now. But he said, "Where's your stuff?" I said, "It's in the back of the truck. Just help me with it." But before I could get to the back of the truck, Scott had picked up four of those duffel bags. They're going down to Walmart. Walmart had given me duffel bags. Four of those full of medical supplies, and they're heavy. Medical supplies are heavy. Because I had diabetic testing machines in there. I had all kinds of bandages, and I had some lots of antibiotics, Rosef and this stuff. He just picked it all up. Just walked all the way to, I don't know if you've ever been to the airport, Raleigh Durham. It's kind of a long walk to the check-in counter. Got to the check-in counter, and they were checking my stuff, and they said, this bag's it's too heavy. And I can only take three bags, not the fourth bag. They're all full. And I was just panicking. I was sweating, too. I was down there trying to get stuff rearranged, get stuff out of this bag, put in this bag. And I had the bag. I got it all in there, but the zipper grew up like that, and I couldn't get the zipper over there, over top of it. And this, from down the near the check-in counter, this lady walked in. I saw her. She had a white dress on. And she just reached down and just zipped the bags. All three of them zipped the bags. And even had room to put the one bag that didn't have food. She said, you may need this one. She's stuck in the corner of the four bags. And looked at her, and she was I think she was an angel, but she did have a little American Airlines little thing on the thing here. So I think it stands for angel, American angel to me. And then when I got down to San Domingo, I had a van. They were supposed to bring us two trucks, but they brought us one van and a little truck. Scott was panicking. But he noticed on top of the van, they had one of those racks, big racks that covered the whole top of the van that we could throw stuff up there. So I was trying to throw stuff up there, and as I was throwing the stuff up there, this finger bent back completely and dislocated and literally sticking out like that. And I looked at it and I said, we knew God, you brought me a long ways to be ineffective. What are we going to tell me what to do here? And so he told me, he said, I want you to put it back in place. So I grabbed the finger. Put some traction like I was taught. And just brought it back over. Put it back in place. It did not hurt. It didn't swell. You know when you break a bone or you dislocate something, especially the knee is about this big, feels like it. And especially the fingers, can anyone tell which finger it was? And when we got to the Baptist Church here in San Domingo, and we they brought some ice, some water. I drank the ice water, and then I filled it back up, and I just stuck the finger in there, just hoping that would help. And it felt good. Kept it in about 20 minutes, pulled it back out. The finger never has hurt me, and that was just truly, truly a miracle in itself. The Bible verse that, bear with me, I still have a love-hate relationship with my computers. And but each time I would go to on one of our trips, I would pick a Bible verse. And this is the Bible verse I picked for Haiti. It's John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Because when I got back from Haiti, I had a lot of people would say things, probably God brought an earthquake on the people in Haiti because they were evil people. People use the word Haiti and Hades and hell. Kind of use that word kind of interchangeably. And I have to admit, the word term hot as Hades is accurate because it is very hot down there. Extremely hot. And so that concerned me. And I tried to correct them on it, but I knew I couldn't. That was between them and God, their opinion about it. Maybe through my example would soften their opinion about that. But, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. After that, I've been back to Haiti four times. We have the last time I was down there, we found a house to have a nice clinic, a fixed clinic. Before that, we had purchased through Scott's help. Scott was coordinator down for 3.5 years, and stayed there in that house. And groups would come in every week, a different group. They would leave on Saturday mornings. Real convenient. You leave on Saturday morning, come back on Saturday morning. And it's in the same time zone, so you don't have to change your clocks. And we didn't have cell service to begin with, but now they do have cell service. And then they started bringing construction teams and started building block houses. Because, as you see in these pictures, the city was just destroyed. I mean, the hospital I was in was half the hospital had completely fallen down. One side was still standing, and we built an emergency room in the middle of it. And we found these three Haitian doctors who were recently out of school. And we put them triage at the front desk, take care of the simple stuff and send us the heavy duty stuff. And we had people come from all over the place. And I like getting hung up on telling miracles. Because that's something we don't see here. I mean, has anybody seen a miracle lately? I mean, you know. Because they're there. But we're so used to them. We just don't recognize them. But when you're in a disaster area like this, there's miracles everywhere. And there are obvious miracles in our areas. I had two little infants that were 6 weeks old, twins, who were not crying. And they were obviously dehydrated, hadn't had anything to drink. And I had to choose between these two infants because I knew one was going to die. Both were going to die if I didn't do anything. So I had to choose one to live. And I felt like Solomon, you know, in the Bible, trying to choose, you know, who's the mother, is this baby. And I said, God, what should I do? And just as I said that, rubbed against me this tall, skinny girl. In her late 20s, white coat, real tall. In fact, when I turned and looked at her, her name tag was staring right in the face. And it said, Pediatrics, Harvard Medical School. I said, you take that one, and I'll take this one. And we did. And both babies were saved, and within a matter of 10 minutes, we got IVs in them, getting fluids in. They started crying and whimpering a little bit, and then they started wanting to feed. And they're just miracles, you know. There were several miracles there. One miracle was that we found an IV site. And if you've been in medical, it's hard enough to find an IV in a person that's well, but if you get a dehydrated little baby, they're nowhere to be found. But this baby, there was one in the neck on one baby that was there, and it was God put it there. Got an IV in that one. And the other baby was in the head. It was a vein up in the head that we got the vein in. So, I could go on and on about miracles, but I like to talk more about what miracle God wants to do in your life, you and you and you. And this is the miracle that He wants to do in your life. I consider it the 11th commandment. Someone's probably said that before. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And I agree with you, he would be always. I know he'll be with you always. If you ever have any inclination about not, I can't do that. You know, I've got too much going on here. I've got to feed the cows in the morning, and who's going to take the dog to get his hair cut? And who's going to? Kids are in school, and God will make a way for you. If you feel called. The point is, though, you've already been called. Because the Scripture's there. You notice I didn't say, thou shalt not this and that. It says, go ye, go. You know, the other commandments, many of them say, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not. It's a lot of nots. This one, which I consider the 11th commandment, says, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I had the privilege of taking my whole family with me, three girls, and they were all teenagers then, and my wife, and that was a blessing to show them the miracles that I had seen and what God can do in your life if you just say. Now, I know we should pray and we should give and we should do all these things. But even when we're praying to God, are we actually listening to at the same time? Because I really feel strongly that if you're listening to God, this is what He's saying. He's saying, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you would, turn to your hymnal. Hymn number. I was corrected by my voice teacher. You don't say page number in the hymn book. It's hymn number 269. And I'm going to attempt to sing this. And I want you to not look at me, though. I get nervous when I sing, so don't look at me. I want you to look down at these words. And if you want to sing them, you can. If you want to recite them silently, or if you don't want to do them out loud, that would be fine with me. It's number 269. There's a bomb in Galilee. Listen to these words. This is a Negro spiritual hymn. It's referenced in Jeremiah, where the soldiers have a lot of wounded soldiers, and they know of this bomb. You know, bomb is like lip balm. It's ointment. It has healing powers. But it does more than just heal the wounded. It also heals the sin-sick soul. And then it talks about you being the one to apply the ointment on these people. And as you're applying the ointment, which is what we did in Haiti, we also would tell them about Jesus Christ. Remember, look at me. Don't look at me. Look at this.
Yeah.
Share with you the opportunities that you have more local than Haiti, but outside of your Bladen County. And that's many places in North Carolina. And this, the North Carolina Baptist Men gets no funding from the cooperative program or Southern Baptists. It's all they generate their own. They do give them some pension from some of the ministers, and they give them office space up at Cary. So all the monies, you have to give it directly to the Baptist Men, and I encourage you to give often and lots. But there is opportunities in Western, Red Springs, gosh, within 100 miles of here, Red Springs, they've got a great brand new, I don't know if your church has utilized any of those opportunities over there, but they have a local where they housing and building houses and doing ministry and helping with Vacation Bible School, that local. Then in Asheville, the mountains, and all up in West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Vermont is considered the least churched. It's got the most churches of any state in the United States, but has the least churched people. There are a lot, what they're doing up there, they're revitalizing all these old churches. A lot of churches that have turned them in, over the years, have turned them into antique stores, and I think there's restaurants in some of them, and it's sad. And what they're doing up there, this ministry are going to these churches and trying to organize churches in the towns, and then there, some of them actually have reclaimed those old churches and have turned them back into the. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Jesus and the money changers running running them out of the church and reclaiming the purpose of the house of God. And you're welcome to be part of that. And then they have all lots of other things. There's stuff in Hawaii that are doing with, they've got the Hawaiian Baptist Convention, and Hawaii State Convention. Building this huge retreat area over there where they're recruiting kids and youth in the area, similar like Fort Caswell that we've got here. And in fact, Scott, the coordinator, he was pulled from that job. He said that was the coolest job. He went from one extreme to the other, went from Hawaii to down to Haiti. And and then there's all over the world. They got some, you know, Albania in the southern part of Russia. Pakistan, Israel, and all those places. Now, don't those kind of places scare you? We've 3 years now. I think this will be the third summer that we've had the, what's the big youth thing that they do every Sunday? Something Impact. Blaine County's done it. Something Impact. Well, they've done it at Cuba, but they do it on the Western Cuban Baptist State Baptist Convention down there. They're not near Havana's on the, they're on the west end, or east end. Havana's on the more of the western end. And so they, I mean, there's some communist issues you have to deal with out there, but not much. It's kind of like they kind of, yeah, if they, we see them coming by, we'll salute them and do what we need, you know, act like we're behaving. But it's not a, not many of you have been put in prison, but they carry youth down there from North Carolina. They carried, I think, about 70 youth, I believe, last summer down there. I tried to go with that group. I'd love to go again this summer, but I got detained doing something else. And there's some things in Rocky Mountains and Wyoming. And so I'd encourage, and then we're still continuing with our stuff down in Haiti. I'd like to close that and let Mackenzie continue to challenge each of one of you to remember that the Bible verse says go. And if God says, tells you to do it, I want to hear you say yes.
Robbie, we appreciate you coming and sharing with us. The one thing that I appreciate the most is that it takes every excuse away from every one of us, because everybody can do something. And we say, and I hope that you really understand when I say this, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. As you sit here today, can you honestly say there is nothing I have to offer in missions? Can you say that? There is nothing I can't. Well, I'm not a doctor. I can't doctor like Dr. Rock.
Which is labor.
The song we just sang said I can't preach like Peter. Well, you know, I'm the first one to say I can't preach like Peter. I've never in my life preached and 3,000 people got saved. Ever. In fact, in my whole ministry, I don't know that 3,000 people have gotten saved. But God doesn't compare me to Peter. I can't pray like Paul. I read some of the prayers that the prayer we reviewed as we went through 1 Thessalonians. And I think, you know, Lord, how does he even think of these things to lift up to you? I can't pray like Paul, but God's not calling me to pray like Paul. I can't doctor like Ron Paul. But God's not calling me to doctor like Ron Paul. He's calling me to do what I can do. There's something you can do. And on this Baptist Men's Day, I want to first of all challenge you men to be the leader God's calling you to be. We don't want you to go with us in the mission field. We want you to lead us into the mission field. As a man of God, this church may well be waiting on you to take your position of leadership to take us into the mission field. And again, as Ron said, we don't all have to go to Haiti. Yet we're not all going to go to Cuba. We're not all going to go to Hawaii. Although, wouldn't it be wonderful? God called us all to be missionaries to Hawaii. You know, that's just a selfish way we think.
They're doing landscaping right now.
Oh, yes. Can you do landscaping? Yeah, oh, yes. We can get us up a crowd right now to go. We can go to landscaping in Hawaii for Jesus. I don't know where he's calling, but I know he's calling. And if God were to beg, I think that's what he would be doing right now. So many people are lost and dying and going to hell. So many are in need of a touch. It may be an IV. We've got people. One on the piano. My wife, who just took off to make sure the food's here. They can do IVs, Ron. You know, still at the nursing home, if they can't, nobody can get it, they call the Lord. Lord, you get an IV. Anybody else can do that? But you can do something. Whether it's cleaning up the mess or sharing Jesus. You can do something. And that's what God's calling us to do. Men, I challenge you to be our leader. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. Say, hey, I need to say to you, you got to get up, go out, be what I'm calling you to be. He told us all, go.